your expertise. You've got it. Share it.
Volunteer your expertise today at score.org.
Well, good morning and welcome to Saturday in the Studio. I'm Tom King, and we are here with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates, live in the studio, and we can take your phone calls today. Good morning, sir.
Well, I am here. I am alive. I am not sick.
You are not a hologram.
I am not in the woods hunting the elusive white-tailed buck.
Did you get your 30-pointer?
I did, and he was 25 less than that. But yes, okay. I did indeed. So I will have some fantastic Wisconsin venison sausage.
All right.
And the nectar of the gods.
So folks have had a few weeks to come up with their questions now, so hopefully we'll get a bunch of phone calls today. 715-845-2155.
We should probably tell them the date. You know, so we actually are here live. It is 12:14, at least that's what I believe.
Sort of like a kidnap victim holding up a newspaper with a headline.
Well,
yeah,
that's what we do. We hold up tomorrow's headline.
All right.
You know, Dewey wins.
Yeah, all right. 715-845-2155 if you have a question for Merle regarding your portfolio, anything having to do with your financial planning situation. Well, tough week for stocks. Couple of double-digit loss days. They were up a little bit yesterday, but down for the week. Is this the correction we've been waiting for or hearing?
You know, I hope so. It really does. You know, inside of our office, we've been sitting on some cash for a while, and the reason we've been sitting on a little bit of cash is because we're waiting for a little bit of a correction to happen. Not that I think the stock market is going to fall apart or disappear, or we're going to have a 1,000-point drop day or anything of that nature. So, you know, I don't know that we've necessarily seen anything in the cards for that. But, you know, a little bit of a correction here is always good, especially when you're sitting on some cash to start buying into the marketplace. And we believe that to be the case. So with that, it leads us into an article, or leads me into an article, at least one we have, the first one, on a new section side of MarketWatch.com they call The Tell.
Okay. The Tell, of course.
I was trying to make it sound sexy, how that worked.
It's a poker term when you are able to tell what your opponent is holding in his hand by some motion or eye flicker or
that's right.
Yawn or eating Oreo cookies. If you watch the movie Rounders, you'll know what your opponent is holding.
Well, the article in The Tell is called 29 Stocks to Help Drive the S&P 500 to 2017 and 2014, and this is by J.P. Morgan. Now, I don't know if you necessarily need to buy the 29 stocks, but here's what they're saying. They go through and they do a composite average of what happens, and of course, essentially, now I have to be able to boost this up. There's this thing on my around my neck here. Look at that. Glasses. All right. So in here, they take a look at a composite of what the bull markets have done since the beginning to the end of bull markets, and they match up our bull market along with it. So based upon technical data, as well as the information and data that's inside of the marketplace, such as wages, job, et cetera, et cetera, one of the big ones that came out this week is we had a record number of people quitting their jobs. That may sound kind of bizarre, but record number of quitting their jobs, folks, shows that people have confidence in the ability to buy a new job. So it's a measuring indicator that pops up in there.
Or they're expecting to win the Mega Millions lottery.
Well, they can't.
Nobody won last night.
They can't because I will be.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, if I win that, Tom.
You won't be in on Saturday?
We're buying the studio.
Okay.
We're going to change the format.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I'm just teasing.
Punk polka?
What's that?
Punk polka.
Punk? Is there such thing as punk polka? So anyway, in here, looking at this thing, J.P. Morgan and their strategist. I'm trying to get the strategist's name so I actually have the name that pops up. In fact, his name would be Thomas Lee, rolled out his 2014 forecast. And with a year-end target of 2014, the S&P 500, which is one of the most bullish calls yet this year, he's looking at 20% increase for 2014. I think it's a heck of a tell, as in this article. But if we take a look at it, again, we take a look at all the things inside of the economy, and it still points that we're still going to continue to have some bullish and some growth inside of the marketplace. Even though so many people say the stock market is too high, one of the things that we're having, folks, is that the stock market continues to keep growing, and the earnings or the amount of earnings per share continues to keep accelerating, which is what you want inside of an expansive economy. And so with it, interesting article if you want to learn some stuff about the marketplace as it goes on. So J.P. Morgan, this strategist, not Merle Kelch, but Mr. Thomas Lee is forecasting for 2014 the S&P 500 to go up by about another 20%, which essentially is a year not real different than what we're having currently.
The news, though, is showing that they still expect some short-term weakness heading into next week's Federal Reserve meeting, where the Federal Reserve is expected to start talking about, and they've been talking about it for a while, but apparently they're getting close to really talking about it now, getting rid of or at least tapering off the quantitative easing, which is, what, 85
$85 billion a month.
$85 billion a month stimulus program that that is going to start going away. How will the market be affected by that?
You know, the big thing out there in the articles that are popping up pretty frequently inside of the marketplace is what is the Fed going to do? And essentially, what is the Fed going to do? How are they going to reduce the quantitative easing at the same time, not to have interest rates spike? What the balance in here, folks, if we take a look at this, the balance is that the bonds that the Federal Reserve is currently buying, which not a bad thing by any means, but when they start buying these or stop buying these, excuse me, those bonds are going to now be open in the open marketplace. So, you know, will somebody buy those? Yeah, they're still going to be purchased. Is it going to create a mess? No, I don't believe that it's going to. Economist Brian Westbury from First Trust Data, coming out of Chicago, has the opinion. He says he doesn't think that quantitative easing, one, he makes the argument that quantitative easing, this bonds that they're buying right now, really isn't doing much to have that big of a stimulus effect in the economy anyway. Whether we agree with that or not, his other statement makes a lot of sense to me, such as somebody is going to buy those bonds, probably other members inside of the Federal Reserve System. But what's going to happen now is those bonds are going to go into an open marketplace. And so rather than getting X for them, because it's going to go into an auction, they're going to get X less some discounted factor. When the yield, which is going to happen, they're going to have to pay a higher interest rate for those bonds. When that happens, it drops the value of bonds. It drops bond prices. And that being the case, it has the potential to start raising interest rates and artificially or properly, depending upon how you look at it, dropping the bond values. So that means, folks, that your bond prices that you're sitting on, your bond mutual funds, that you have wherever they are, have a potential of getting hit as a result of this. So how long before they start tapering? And many people are thinking that they might try to figure out a way that they can reduce the amount of bond or the quantitative easing that the Federal Reserve is buying. And some estimates are saying that they're going to go into 2014, maybe do a couple billion here, $5 billion here in reduction, to try to do something slow at the same time, not increasing interest rates and having that bond value price drop so dramatically, which people are thinking.
All right, 715-845-2155 is the number to call. If you have a question for Merle regarding your portfolio, give us a call here this morning. We'll be right back on WSAU.
Hey, it's Guy Fieri. And before the game, it's all about the tailgating. Burgers, sausage and peppers, onions, hot wings, you name it. But come game time, if you got yourself a whole bunch of heartburn, roll out the Rolaids.
Don't let heartburn keep you from enjoying the things you love. Rolaids gets you back in the action fast. Its dual-active formula neutralizes more acid than Tums. For indigestion and heartburn, get rapid relief with Rolaids.
R-O-L-A-I-D-S? Now that's how you spell relief.
Use as directed. Acid neutralization may not correlate with symptom relief.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that, overall, you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't seen your lap in months. And even more stuff. But still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs. And it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
I wanted to bounce my idea off of you.
I want you to just answer me straight up.
I wanted to say, I thought if I ever spoke to you, I'd probably talk about politics.
I want to show the world that we have courage.
Giving you everything you want this holiday season.
Every beautiful woman I see, I would love to make love to her.
As long as you mean the best in news and conversation.
I want to feed my kids. I want to pay my bills. And you only do that by working. I don't want anything given to me.
On WSAU and WSAU.com.
And we're back here in the studio. I'm Tom King, along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau.
You know, Tom, I just want to add something. We had a lot of clients this past week stopping in questions, really past couple of weeks. And everybody's saying, well, the stock market's too high. The stock market's too high. It has to come down. Well, you know, the stock market, folks, is what it is. If we take a look at, you know, everybody saying, well, the stock market is too high. We heard the same thing in 1983 and 1985 and heard the same thing in 1987. Well, it did go down in 1987, but it came back again. And we continue to hear that going up in, you know, 2000 and 2001. And it always adjusts, don't get me wrong, but the stock market has to continue to keep going higher. And why, would you say, is the question for that? Because it's called an expansive capitalistic society, and it can't go sideways.
Yeah, but eventually the guys who are yelling that the sky is falling are going to be right.
And well, ultimately, everybody has their day.
When is that going to happen?
If I could actually guess when that would occur, Tom, we would have papal types of hats, and they would have us on the front page of the Wall Street Journal.
You don't see it happening anytime soon.
No, we have to take a look at it. And the biggest question and the reason for my leading into this is folks, people said, aren't we going to have this so the stock market crashed again and went down like it did in 2008? Well, 2008 was a different animal. We were certainly having a growth in an expansive economy in 2008. And remember, the switch got shut off on almost everything as a result of banking. So in here, a number of things happened in 2008 that really changed everything, and all really spurned upon this company called Enron. And people say, well, how did 2008 and 2009 happen as a result of Enron? Well, folks, as they say, here she goes. If we went through and made a list of every reason that the stock market came down in 2008 and 2009, if we made the list, everybody would have the list, and we'd probably hit the top 10 or 12 items that caused the stock market to go down and the economy, really, not so much the stock market, but the economy to drop off and shut off in 2008 and essentially push the big reset button. And that goes into Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. You know, it was the Democrats, it was the Republicans. We have both of those in there. We can throw in all the politicians. And you know what? And then they'll all probably have something to do with it. Enron becomes a part of it because, remember, Enron was creating fake corporations, and they were depreciating those fake corporations, depreciating them onto the balance sheet. And what that does, folks, is you can take a fake company and depreciate it onto your balance sheet. What it does, it essentially creates a loss in your portfolio or a loss to your stock, a loss to your company without losing cash, thereby boosting your stock price. If you want to go through the math of that, go through and call your account. Matter of fact, wake him up. And see okay, so in here then, it makes it so that your stock price is elevated more than it should be because you have depreciation against a loss against your stuff without losing the actual cash. So our brilliant Federal Accounting Standards Board went through, decided what they were going to do then is beginning the end of 2007, they were going to make it so that if you had an asset that had a mortgage against it, that asset, if it went down in value, you had to charge it against your income statement. But, Tom, if you ever took accounting or remember accounting back in school or even high school, the biggest thing you don't do is you never charge a asset against your income statement because we never know what's going to happen. That would make the same logical sense of, Tom, if your house value went up by $10,000, you'd have to include it as income. And it doesn't make any sense because we didn't buy or sell that individual asset. So that happening then, the Federal County Standards Board essentially said, well, the show that we're not picking on corporate America, we're going to make sure that it's on anything and anybody that owns a mortgage with interest rate. If that value goes down, they have to charge it against their income statement. That meant every bank in America. So you now have your small bank America or large bank America, and let's say that bank made $75,000 for the quarter, and it had a mortgage that went down by $75,000 for that quarter. The bank now had an income for that quarter of
zero.
So guess what it does to the stock price? It makes it go down. Guess what the bank's ability is to borrow money to continue its operations if it needs to? It doesn't, because you don't have any income. And so that then became the trigger that let everything else loose. It opened up the leveraging that that was happening from Lehman Brothers when they were doing credit default swaps. And credit default swaps, which are designed to spread risk between banks, Lehman Brothers was doing credit default swaps to anybody for pretty much any bet they wanted to do, including fuel prices. Hence, we recently saw the price of oil going up to $140 per gallon. So now on that, folks, that stuff has been very largely repaired and fixed, that we won't have that. So the reasoning we saw the stock market come down so much in 2008 and the volatility we saw in 2008 beginning in 2009 has been repaired. It's not there. Also, if we look at the underlying economy has also got better legs to it and a better foundation today than it did back at that particular point in time. Remember, we were still growing as an economy as a result of everything that happened from 9/11. We were still coming back from those years. We were still having some tentativeness. But the economy has continued to keep growing, but on a much more solid front or foot since 2008 and 2009. So some people say, well, Merle, hasn't the economy really started since 2003? We have a bull market since then. And my opinion is, and there's a lot of data that proves it, is that, yes, we were having a growth economy, and we went into a growth recession. Some people are calling it a depression, but everything shut off. We shut the switch off. We pushed the reset button. We started over. And I think what we're seeing now is a growing economy at a much better base and a slower pace. We started a growth economy all over again since 2008, beginning of 2009. So do we see that same reasoning that the market came down 2008, 2009? No, it's not out there anymore. Those reasoning, those accountings, those rules have been fixed, have been changed, essentially brought back to normal again. Do we see the stock market go up and down because of profits? Yes, and you know what? That's okay, because we can see the profits. We just can't see things that nobody knows about, such as the smartest people in a room and all those movies that were out.
The people that bought in continued to buy in quickly after the meltdown in those years, mm-hmm. in the late 2000s. How are they looking right now?
You have no idea how brilliant that is. I have to say this. Obviously, I won't say the name of the person by any means, but the day the stock market was coming down, which was, it was a Thursday, I can't think of the date, I think it was October 12th, if I remember properly, I was actually going out to visit my sister and brother-in-law. We were going to go out and do a little bull hunting in the Black Hills, one of the things on my bucket list. And so as the market's going down, I keep getting phone calls coming back from my office. You know, the stock market's down 1,000 points, and we're getting phone calls and that whole bit. And I'm like, all right, we got to stop. And, of course, Mom's with me because we're going out to visit the sister. And so Mom's with me, and we're about 4 hours from Rapid City. I said, we got to go back. And my mom's like, well, really? Can't you just take me up and drop me off? No, because that's another 8 hours I got to drive. We got to go back. So we, on that day, drove to Mitchell, South Dakota to have a Culver's. And we turned around and drove back to Wausau again. The next morning, I said, well, I got to get in there early. And I was in there bright and early morning.
Did you plug in your computers at the Corn Palace? And
it didn't exist at that point in time. Interestingly enough, we couldn't quite do it yet at that point.
Oh, with the internet and doing all of the stuff online?
We couldn't quite do it yet in 2008, which was kind of interesting. Today, you can do it literally driving down the road. You can actually trade.
Yeah.
I've done that.
Okay.
it's a true story. We come back, and in the morning, we have a client. We're sitting on a bunch of cash. We're supposed to do some other things. He says, I have a list. Let's start buying. So as people are doing phone calls, I'm literally on a computer buying stocks, individual stocks, and just a mountain of them.
Distressed stocks.
Oh, distressed, yeah. And this person had a list, and he had this list prepared for a long time. And his reasoning for not buying them in the past, he was trying to make his portfolio so it was more simplistic in case something happened to him for his wife. So he had all these stocks, and he said, well, you got to make hay when you can make hay. And that portfolio has well more than doubled since that period of time. And so now we have the ability to do all the stuff we originally wanted to do back in 2008, and we still have twice that amount of money in profit still sitting there that we can do other things with. And so another client of mine, my highest net worth client, same thing. He's in his 90s at that particular point in time, says, well, I've got some cash. Let's start buying some stuff. And we can take a lesson from that. So two of our older, more wealthier, seasoned clients who've been in the marketplace and investing for a long, long time, they never get excited about the stock market going down. With an exception, the excitement is that there's things they can now buy on sale, and they start getting really fired up about that. And so there's some lessons out there. So My whole conversation over here, I'm meaning on this side of the table, of yeah. course, you listening don't know this, is that the reason that we saw the stock market come down in 2008 is largely not out there at this point in time. So with that being said, we have to look at the profitability in the marketplace and all the things that are going down, the expansion of the earnings and the profitability and the earnings base that companies have. I'm not saying that the world's going to be a brilliant and beautiful place and the stock market's not still going to go up and down, but at least for 2008, those things are not out there. And the reason that dropped at that point in time.
All right, 715-845-2155. We're going to take a break for some news. We'll come back with more. The phone lines are open. If you have a question for Merle, give us a call. We'll be right back on WSAU.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom. I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. You've seen me around the neighborhood, and you've told me I'm a pretty good kid. Well, I'm one out of every four children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. This problem is closer than you think. My teacher tells me we could grow up and be whatever we want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. There's enough food in this country to feed everyone. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
News now from AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
I'm Tom King, WSAU News. Chaos erupted at a Colorado school yesterday after authorities say an 18-year-old gunman opened fire with a shotgun. Carl Pearson entered the school and asked other students about the location of a teacher and then shot a 15-year-old girl who was nearby. The girl is in critical condition. Pearson apparently died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. A health advisory has been issued due to more cases of pertussis or whooping cough. The Wood County Health Department has more cases reported, and they're urging people with the symptoms to take the right precautions. Early symptoms are much like catching a cold, but the mild cough progressively worsens to severe coughing spells. The Rhinelander School District closed two elementary schools on Friday because a large number of students were sick. Pelican and Crescent Elementary were both hit hard by the bug. North Central Technical College holding a commencement ceremony today at Wausau East High School for their fall semester graduates. It starts at 10 o'clock this morning. Director of Student Development Sean Sullivan says many of the graduates are going directly to the workforce, as many have already accepted jobs in their chosen fields. In sports, the Bucks lost on a last-second shot by Mike Dunleavy. The Bulls get the win at the Bradley Center. Milwaukee is in Dallas tonight taking on the Mavericks. The Badger hockey team beat Colorado College last night. They play again tonight. You can hear the game here, pregame show at 6:30. The Badger basketball team in action today, putting their undefeated mark on the line against Eastern Kentucky. Pregame show right here at 11 o'clock. The Newsline 9 weather forecast for today. Some areas of snow and around 1 to 2 inches of accumulation possible through central Wisconsin, high going up to 19. For overnight, a low of 9 above. Sunday, cold, flurries possible, a high of only 9. And then Monday, some times of snow again, mostly cloudy with a high up to 22. Looking ahead to Tuesday, windy with flurries high once again around 22. That's news and weather. I'm Tom King, central Wisconsin's Fox News station, WSAU.
We used to think all lung cancer was the same.
Now we know that each tumor may have a different genetic makeup.
Several different molecular types of lung cancer have been identified.
By performing molecular testing on a lung cancer tumor,
doctors can try to determine what's causing the cancer to grow.
It's a different way of looking at lung cancer.
Because lung cancer can affect anyone.
The young or old.
Smokers or non-smokers.
You or me.
Knowing the molecular profile of my tumor helped determine my treatment options.
Anyone can get lung cancer, and not all lung cancers are the same. Talk to your doctor to see if molecular testing is appropriate for you. Visit lungcancerprofiles.com to learn more. That's lungcancerprofiles.com. A public service of six leading lung cancer advocacy groups with support from Pfizer Oncology.
And now, great moments in snow day history.
Drifting snow across central Wisconsin. Let's take a look at our school closing list.
Dave watched from his window as the neighbors dragged their children from their homes out into the ice and snow.
WSOU and WSOU.com.
Dave knew his family's district was closed, and once Mrs. Dave learned of his actions, she would reward him with that one thing she always refused to do. Way to go, Dave. Central Wisconsin's official school closing list. WSAU.
WSAU, we're back in the studio. I'm Tom King, along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau.
Folks, the opinions voiced in this show are for general information only, not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. This show contains forward-looking statements which may not come true. Securities Investment Advisory Services offered through HBEC Incorporated, member FINRA/SIPC. HBEC Incorporated and Kelch & Associates are unaffiliated companies. And folks, this program is intended for Wisconsin residents only.
Right.
Tom, you have no idea how much easier it is to read this when I'm wearing glasses.
I would imagine.
It's something.
Give us a call here if you have a question for Merle. You know, many times in the show we've talked about how it would be wonderful if we could all invest like Warren Buffett. The Oracle of Omaha, of course, with Berkshire Hathaway, has done incredibly well over the years. And one of his claims to fame, of course, is buy and hold. He doesn't buy things short term. He buys them to hold them for a long time. Mm-hmm. But now we're finding out that there have been studies done to see if regular folks or mutual funds or different companies can trade like Warren Buffett and make it work like him. And now there's a report out from the National Bureau of Economic Research in Cambridge, Mass., that analyzed it, and they've come up with what they believe is Warren Buffett's strategy and how he makes it work. And it basically comes in two parts. The first one we know about, and that's the focus on cheap, safe, quality stocks held for a long time. The second one, though, they're thinking will raise some eyebrows, and that fact is that if you want to achieve what Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway stock has achieved, you need to buy most of your portfolio on margin, 60% on margin.
Putting some leverage in, you bet.
All right, explain to us, and I think most people have an inkling of what it is, but explain to folks who maybe don't know what buying stocks on margin is, how risky it actually is, and whether or not this is something that the average investor would be able to participate
sure.
in.
You know, here's a couple of different things. We break this down, and this is, folks, from an article from Mark Hilbert called Want to Invest Like Buffett? Here's How. Inside of that article, then, again, they talk about focusing on cheap, safe, quality stocks and individual stocks. So it's going to be difficult for us to find that unless we know what we're looking for or find good quality mutual funds that do the same thing. In fact, they actually talk about a couple of mutual funds that do this type of work in the back of the article, and I'll be happy to mention about it. Or we can simply go through and buy Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway's A's or B's and, you know.
Yeah, what are the A's going for these days?
You know, I can actually pop it up as part of this article as we're talking about. It'll load as I'm chatting.
Okay.
It's only $171,100.
That's for one share of the A.
Well, yes, one.
And but the one share of the B's are a bit more reasonable.
Well, considerably cheaper. They're $114 right now, so they've had some splits.
Okay.
So the A's are much more fun. I would
if we
sell your house for one share of stock, Tom.
If we win the Mega Millions lottery, we can put
absolutely.
Some of that money into Berkshire Hathaway A. Okay.
You know, I'm just curious, how are we going to change the format of this program if we buy the station?
Something tells me that I'm not sure that our ownership would be willing to sell it to you.
We'd have a lot of fun, I'm pretty sure. So anyway, since 1964, Warren Buffett has been doing this by buying focus on cheap quality stocks. Now, Warren Buffett has a statement. He has many of them that are out there. I think there's actually several quotes of Warren Buffett. But Warren Buffett has said for a long time, he said, if I don't want to buy a stock or own a company for 10 years, I don't want to buy it at all. So he has a long-term view and everything. We all need to have lessons on that. So how do we do that? Well, there's different ways in which we can do so. We can do some basic and some pretty good information online for free with Morningstar. As well as with ValueLine, for example, Morningstar with some mutual funds. I was just showing somebody, we have a new rep inside of our office, and just showing home. If you pop up Morningstar, they'll actually take the mutual fund that you have in the category that it is, and I'm just picking on one, say, large cap growth, and it'll actually rank it on its category to see how it is compared to all of its peers. So if you want to know how good a mutual fund is compared to its peers, not necessarily the rate of return, you look at it, see how it's done its peers, and what's interesting is if you take a look at that, if it stinks, you can see the stinking and the rate of returns, everything along the way. So from this, Warren Buffett, of course, looks for quality, cheap stocks. And he says, okay, if it's a good quality stock, it's cheap, it's got low debt on the inside, which means the company's not leveraged all over the place. He then goes through and borrows money and buys it. So on margin or leverage the account, is, in fact, it looks like about 2-to-1 or some 60%, as the article says. And then from that, he gets the leverage of the rate of return of essentially 1.5 times the value of the stock going up for the amount of cash or the amount of principal that he has in. Makes sense, but you also have to watch out for the backside of that, which is if the stock market goes down, you now have to have a margin call, and you have to come up with more cash to be able to satisfy the portfolio.
All right, before we continue that, let's go to the phone here this morning. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
Hi, this is Louie from Gleason.
Hey, Louie, you're
morning,
on the
Louie.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Merle.
Good morning.
I was wondering if you could talk about how money is created, you know, like by the Fed now, just printing it, versus a normal economy and then versus maybe an inflationary economy and how that gets so out of whack.
Louis, you're going to test my economics 101 here, aren't you?
Yes, that's exactly why I wanted to know.
Louis,
and
in
then
here,
it gets really complicated when you start talking about import-exports.
Well, let's skip the import-exports at this particular point in time. You know, in here, contrary to popular belief, where people say the Federal Reserve is just going to start printing money. No, they really don't do that, everybody. The Federal Reserve just doesn't wake up in the morning and say, well, we need another $80 billion. Let's get the presses going, or we're just going to distribute the cash and throw it off roofs and have people pick it up.
Go to the Mall of America.
Go to the Mall of America, yeah. It doesn't
work but that's
that
exactly what it sounds like when they go, well, we're just going to print $85 billion a month.
Yeah,
reason for it.
What happens, and I'm oversimplifying, but it really is quite this simple. The Treasury Department says we need this much money to be able to cover the cost, the bills, et cetera, et cetera. And when it says we need this much money, whatever it is, and I'm making up a number here, Louis, we need $100 billion. So what they do then is they now issue treasuries and they auction treasuries off. So they auction them off based upon how much they need and what they want to do for long-term, short-term, or the retiring debt, based upon, you know, 3 month, 6 month, 1, 2, 5, 10, 15, now 30 years that are better treasuries. And so they auction those off. And so the auctioning of those bonds is then where we raise our cash from. So the Treasury Department will literally tell the Fed, hey, based upon what's going on in cash and the expansion of the marketplace, we need this much cash printed. And then, yes, the Federal Reserve physically does print the money, but they only print it based upon the direction of the Treasury Department, so they don't just
so this quantitative easing is coming from the Treasury Department, not the Fed telling them that we want to
put... A little bit different animal.
Okay.
Quantitative easing, the Federal Reserve System has the ability to expand its balance sheet, which means they can buy stuff based upon the Federal Reserve, so they can buy stuff in the economy. They can't just simply say, oh, we're going to throw some money out there. Remember, the Federal Reserve, the Fed is designed to help equal out or even out the peaks and valleys inside of our economy. And so what it does then is it starts buying through the full faith and credit of the Federal Reserve System, not the U.S. government. Very important that those are two separate things. They start buying things in the economy to put liquidity and cash into the economy. So that then goes into the next part. It says, well, how is money really created? And it's called an economic multiplier effect. This is Louis and Tom and everybody listening. When you hear somebody say, well, if we build this stadium or we build this project inside of a city, it's going to put $200 million of new money into the system, et cetera, et cetera. And the reason for that is this. The economic multiplier effect is if we put $100 into this new company, that company now has to spend that dollar on wages. And those people who are working there on those wages then have to buy milk, and then they have to buy groceries, and they have to buy gas, and then all those buildings get it. And it's an economic multiplier effect and very calculable. So that's what makes our dollars and our economy grow. The Federal Reserve System says how much do we need to make things work, so how much money do we need to have. They sell the bonds, and if we need cash into the system, they tell the Reserve how much to print. So the Federal Reserve then, how they create stimulus into the economy for an economy is they swell their balance sheet or shrink their balance sheet based upon where they think there might be stimulus to help even out the peaks and valleys from an economic basis.
All right, so here's the next question.
Mm-hmm.
If you have inflation, why don't they cut back the multiplier effect from the banks and stuff rather than raise interest rates?
Well, the easiest way to slow inflation, which, by the way, inflation just has been non-existent for the past number of years. It's out there, but pretty minuscule.
Depending on how you calculate it.
Yeah. But, you know, the number one way to slow inflation is to slow the economy. Okay? So remember, what inflation is when you have too much money chasing too few goods.
Correct.
So what you have to do is...
The multiplier effect would do that, wouldn't it?
Well, the economic multiplier effect is going to have growth in the economy, and you have to have growth in the economy. You just can't have an economy that's growing too fast. That's what creates an inflationary environment. So what the Federal Reserve's job and their doctrine is to do is to slow the economy somehow so it's not growing too fast as to cause inflationary problems. And we go back to this. We, of course, remember the World War I stuff that we had.
Easier,
also things that's going on in China currently.
Easier to do it by just raising
increasing interest rates
a
little bit.
Dealing with the multiplier.
I didn't say it would be harder or easier. I'm just saying the best way to do it.
Yeah.
It just seems like...
The easiest is by increasing the interest rates. It's... Across the board, fastest, easiest way to slow an economy bit is to start creating increasing interest rates a little bit.
Yeah,
the economic multiplier effect
you can't
slow.
Is when people decide they're going to buy houses or whatever, they don't care what the interest rate is hardly. They do, but they just don't. If they're going to buy that house, they buy it.
Yeah, well, everyone wants
a piece of
the American
rate
dream.
Goes back to the 70s when it was 16 or 17%.
And yet people still bought houses when
I was at that rate, too.
Yeah,
they did. All right, thanks for the call, Louie. Appreciate it. 715-845-2155. We need to take a break here. We'll come back with more. Phone lines are open if you have a question for Merle. Back in a moment here on WSAU.
You want to give one special gift to a runner, biker, golfer, or sailor, a pilot, car driver, or outdoor explorer. Give a Garmin and get thank you.
Give a Garmin. Find something fun for everyone. Garmin.com.
When you were a little kid and you thought about what you wanted to be, teaching was at the top of your list. But things changed. And as you got older, teaching didn't seem like the best option anymore. So you're thinking you'll be something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Now you want to be a doctor. You don't think teachers save lives? 25 at a time. An actress? Try playing a different role every time the bell rings. How about a scientist? Ever heard of physics? Chemistry? Who do you think teaches that? Teachers today are breaking down obstacles, finding innovative ways to instill old lessons, and taking learning far beyond the four walls of the classroom. It's time to recognize that great things are happening in teaching and put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Three tours driving Humvees in Afghanistan.
12 years flying choppers.
When my sister came back from her last tour in Afghanistan, she didn't want to talk about it, but she knew I was there to listen.
Sometimes my husband still has difficult memories. They can be overwhelming. With the Veterans Crisis Line, I know where to turn when we need support.
I made the call and got support for my sister.
The Veterans Crisis Line is here for all veterans and their loved ones. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Badgers basketball is hot.
The oven screen, three in the air, right of the circle, book.
Badgers hockey is cool.
And shoots and scores.
Central Wisconsin's Badgers sports station, AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Badgers basketball on Saturday. Coverage begins at 11 a.m. against Eastern Kentucky. That Badgers hockey starting at 6:30 against Colorado College on the Badgers station, WSAU.
And we're back here in the studio. I'm Tom King along with Ronald Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau. 715-845-2155 is the number to call. Back to this story about how this company has decided they have figured out what Warren Buffett does to be so successful. And one of the things that folks would have to do would be to buy on margin and to invest, according to this, 60% of their portfolio would have to be on margin.
Sure.
And those are some pretty big bets to make. And most people, if they had 60% of their portfolio on margin and there was a margin call, they would not.
They would have a rough day. Let's talk briefly about what margin is, folks. Margin is we have the ability to borrow against the asset inside of our portfolio. So I just did some quick math here on my paper. So I'm not bright enough to do this fast, I don't think. But nonetheless, here we go. If we have, let's say, a stock that's worth $5 a share, and we have 20 shares, of course, that makes it pretty close to $100. See, I can do math. We have the ability then to do a 50% margin on most equity accounts. Of course, you have to apply for it. It has to be inside of your portfolio. You have to have it ready to go so you can leverage it. But you can now borrow up to 50% of that $100 of value that you have that stock. Again, $5 per share times 20 shares, $100 of value. We can borrow $50 on that. And so now if we borrow the $50 and we buy an additional share, we now have 150 shares of that portfolio. So if the price per share then goes up to $10 per share, we don't have 20 shares. We now have 30 because we had the leverage. So now our portfolio is worth $300 versus $200 if we didn't leverage it. So thereby we'd have $100 of additional profit that we wouldn't have had if we leveraged it. And so this is what Warren Buffett is doing. The difficulty comes in now is if we, the stock price goes down because we always have to have a margin of 50% or a margin rate. So if our stock that we bought at $5 a share times 20 or $100 now goes to $250, it's now worth $50. Well, we have a $50 margin. That doesn't work. So we now have to bring cash in there to make sure that our margin is only 50% of the equity. And so we get what's called a margin call. Thereby, we'd have to come in and come up with $50 to bring that margin or that equity back up to $100. Or automatically the brokerage house starts selling your shares at $250 a share when it's down. And we all want to sell our stock when it's down.
Automatically.
Automatically, you get a margin call, and you have a couple of days to cure it, and if you don't, they start selling. Isn't that wonderful?
Uh-huh.
So the dangers of leverage are this. You can get margin calls if it goes down. So typically, you want to make sure that if you're going to use margin calls, that you have cash somewhere in case you – I'm sorry, if you want to use margin in your portfolio, you have cash someplace to make sure that you have the ability to come in and make a margin call if that's the case. Now, what's really smart on this – is that if you get a margin call, and let's say our $100 goes down to $50, thereby we'd have a $50 margin call in our example. The whole plan is that you say, well, geez, what I'd like to do is I'll put in $100, not $50, and I'll increase the margin call again. I'll buy a bunch of shares when the stock is down even further and still do a margin call, and essentially makes it so that you double down and leverage double down. But I tell you what, Tom, you really need to have a pair to be able to do that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it can work out great if you have a good quality stock, et cetera, et cetera. You believe in the stock, make sure it's the case. But the margin, the difficulty is you got to have some depth behind you when you do a margin call, when you do margin in case you have that call. So you got to have some cash behind you in which to do that. So leverage, is it good? Sure, it could be fantastic, but you have to know what you're doing. You have to have the ability to have some cash behind you in case something happens. Now, in this article, again, by Mark Hulbert, come on, computing machine. There we go. They have a list of some mutual funds that do some of this stuff. Again, we're not recommending these mutual funds, but if you want to see how they do it within funds and get some information, a couple of different funds that are out there, there's some stocks that they look at that Warren Buffett uses. Warren Buffett, some examples that he uses, some stocks that they've used and they've leveraged. Again, not recommending to do this, but get some information if you want. They've talked about DeVry Education that they've done, Intel. Intel that's out there, Spartan Stores, a grocery store, and there's some mutual funds that they talk about too. One of them, and folks, you can't get this unless you do it through a financial advisor, but it's called DFA US Large Cap Portfolios. And also there is a couple of mutual funds that do that and exchange traded funds that do the same type of a thing. Now again, leveraging mutual funds works great if the market's going up. If the market's going down, guess what? You get your hat handed to you.
Yeah.
So you have to look at it both ways. But there are places that are out there that you can do this sort of leveraging that you actually don't have to put the cash in from the margin or that whole bit. There are funds that do that. In fact, there's quite a few. But you have to know. Works great up, terrible down. in your portfolio. So make sure you chat with your financial advisor prior to doing some of this to make sure it's going to fit or it's wise inside of your portfolio. But great little article talks about that again from Mark Hulbert, Who Wants to Invest Like Buffett, is the title of the article.
All right, we've only got a couple of minutes left as we're getting close to the end of the year here, just a couple of weeks left before January 1. Anything that folks should be thinking about doing here going forward to 2014 that they have to get accomplished by January 31st?
Yeah, year ends. Some of the things coming up, but you can do it after the first of the year, is take a look at your contributions in the IRAs. It's always a good idea to start taking a look at now and saying, where am I from a tax standpoint, and just kind of getting a general idea. The reasoning for that is if you need to put some money instead of IRAs to drop your taxes down, you need to put some money in some health savings accounts, these types of things, you have the ability to start saying, well, if I know where I am today, know I have to put some money into it. I have 4 months, of course, to get your taxes in April to be able to put some of that money away. So a good idea to take a look at that. Also, it's kind of coming to the time of the year we start getting capital gain distributions from mutual funds, et cetera, et cetera. Capital gain distributions that are not, repeat, not inside of IRAs or 403Bs, of course, show up as a tax to us in the form that we get a 1099 at the end of the year. So a lot of times you have to take a look at it, especially as these last couple of years we've had some tremendous growth. We have to take a look and say, well, are capital gains too high for the mutual funds that we have? Do we need mutual funds that are more tax efficient? And we can have that conversation for next week as we come up on tax efficiency in funds.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time here. If folks want to get a hold of you on Monday, how can they do that?
Folks, on Monday morning, bright and early, I will be there at our office. Okay, rephrase that. I'll be there bright and early at the crack of 10 a.m. Join us at 3rd Avenue and Bridge Street here in Wausau. Stop on in for a cup of coffee. We always have some coffee floating around in there. Stop on in, kick the tires. Maybe you'll catch me between appointments and have a chance to say hello. And those few folks that caught up to us last week and did the same thing, it was great to meet you, by the way. So in that, stop on in. You can give us a call, 715-849-3600. Outside of the Wausau area at 866-355-5100. Or join us online at KelchinAssociates.com.
All right, we'll talk to you again next week.
We'll see you here, brother.
We've got a big sports day today here on WSAU. First, though, the news is on the way. Then the polka shows for a bit. 11 o'clock, Badger basketball. Wisconsin puts their 11-0 mark on the line as they take on Eastern Kentucky. And then tonight, Badger hockey once again, coming off a win last night. They take on Colorado College again. Pre-game show right here at 6:30. Marathon Cup High School hockey on our sister station, Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390 and FM 93.9. First game at 5:30. It's Wausau East and Mosinee. That'll be followed by Wausau West and DC Everest playing for the Cup. That's all coming up right here on WSAU and our sister station, Fox Sports Radio.